It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast as we cover the very latest in property news. We do that every morning as heard on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts and Amazon. And it's a Friday, the third day for May, as we get ready to head into the very first weekend of the month. I'll tell you what, you know what's happening the other side. Next Tuesday, the RBA, they've got their meeting. And as always, we are going to break that news the second that it is released. Now, if you're not already following us and you would like that RBA decision instantly, then do so to get the notification on Tuesday afternoon. And Anthony Landau will be back once again to break that down. And if you've got any questions or suggestions, our email address is myrealestatepodcast@gmail.com. So a couple of days ago, CoreLogic, now they released some numbers regarding the Australian home values that continues to trend higher in April, with the National Home Value Index rising by 0.6%. And Eliza Owen, the head of residential research from CoreLogic, is joining us this morning. And perhaps, Eliza, first off, let's look at April's increase, which takes the current growth cycle into its 15th month, with housing values up 11.1%, or approximately $78,000. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Absolutely. This is a really resilient result for Australian home value increases. And it's pretty counter to everything we're seeing in the economy at the moment, which is a slowdown in economic output, weaker consumer sentiment, depleted household savings rates, and of course, higher interest rates. But the property market has managed to keep rising because it's being driven by cheaper markets in particular. So Perth, for example, which has a relatively low median of $721,000, rose by 2% in the month. And we're also seeing that there's resilience because of tight labour market conditions, where people are able to keep servicing home loans. And it's possible that a lot of the people taking out debt at the moment to buy aren't having to take out as much. So downsizers or people who are selling an asset to buy something else is making up a little more of the owner-occupier buyer pool.
And I remember 2 years ago, we were talking about this high contrast between different markets. And then last year, that gap wasn't as pronounced, sort of talking about the speeds, as some commentators told us. But your report is telling us that there is still this multi-speed factor that is in play.
That's right. And the biggest factors that we see determining the kind of rate of growth that you're getting across the market depends on value. So like I say, relatively cheap markets like Perth and Adelaide are seeing the strongest growth at the moment. And it's also to do with stock levels, where stock levels are incredibly low across Perth, Adelaide, and Brisbane to an extent. And in Perth, selling times are really tight, with median selling time sitting at about 12 days.
And when you look at the lower range of markets in terms of cost for the entry point, obviously you're talking about the Perth market there, they are recording stronger growth. That is certainly coming through in the report. So tell us a little bit more about that, because I note that the report isn't including places like Darwin as one of those cities.
Yeah, so I think the other added trends here are in migration. If you look at Perth, that's seen internal migration really turn around. In the September quarter of 2023, net interstate migration to Western Australia was over 2,000 people. And that's off the back of a decade average pre-COVID of minus 95 for the net interstate migration result. So what this means is that more people are settling in WA than are leaving the state. This is in part fueled by very strong labour market conditions, and that's sort of caught up in another mining upswing as well that's utilising a lot of construction labour. So it's attracting people to the state from a job perspective, that's subsequently having an influence on housing demand. There's also anecdotally this rise in interstate investment. So people on relatively high incomes on the East Coast who are looking to markets like Perth and Adelaide as, again, these relatively accessible markets. And I say relatively accessible because, you know, they're cheap in terms of other capital city median values. But it's worth noting for a city like Adelaide, for example, home values have increased the equivalent of $300,000 at the median level in the past 4 years. So even though I say relatively cheap, for people who have been in those cities for a longer period of time, the past few years have been an extraordinary increase in value.
And we are talking to Eliza Owen. We will come back after this and talk more property.
Let's fuel your passion for property together. Join us, along with our industry experts, to help inspire and inform your next real estate decision.
Well, you know just how expensive the Sydney property market is getting as a result of a recent sale, a bare-bones Sydney penthouse devoid of a bathroom or a kitchen, managed to fetch an impressive $13.7 million and marketed as a renovation project for affluent buyers. I've got to say, I've never seen that line in any listing before. So the property that needs a renovation is for affluent buyers. And it said that this Potts Point property boasts grandeur despite its unfinished estate. Thank you, Wendy and Hamish in Wollongong, for your email. Listeners of the podcast, you said that you've been spending the last 5 years saving for a house, and the aspirational goal of home ownership seems to be getting further and further away. I like the last little bit that you put in the email, but we listen every morning anyway for inspiration from the podcast to keep us going. Thank you for that, Wendy and Hamish. And if you are in Wollongong this morning, good morning to you.
If you're serious about real estate, we're serious about delivering the most comprehensive property information every week.
And it's a Real Estate Friday, talking all things property, and looking forward to another weekend. And good luck with any property transactions coming up. May you be successful and as happy as the cat who got the cream regarding chasing any properties. Well, Eliza Owen, the head of residential research from CoreLogic, is back with us this morning. Eliza, regional markets, now they've been the darling hotspots for many first home buyers. You were talking just before the break about Adelaide and the growth there. First home buyers, of course, moving into different areas around Australia, although regionally things are heating up with a bit of a surge in growth, and this is a real problem for those first home buyers wanting to move regionally. So where is this market at compared to capital city pricing at the moment with CoreLogic's report?
Regional markets have shown a slightly stronger quarterly growth rate over the past 5 months than the capital city counterparts. So following a 10-month period where the combined capitals index was outperforming, we can now see that value movements in regions are overtaking, and the strongest regional performers kind of mirror what we're seeing in the strongest capital city markets. So regional Western Australia led the pace of quarterly gains at 5.3%. That was followed by regional South Australia at 3.9%, and then following that was regional Queensland at 3.2%. While you're seeing declines in Melbourne, we're also seeing slight declines in regional Victoria, which was down 0.1% over the quarter, and it was the only state to actually record a decline in that period.
Uh-huh. Okay, so looking at the peak of any cycle, now we can only look back after the event rather than trying to forecast it ahead of time. But last November, that might have been a rear view mirror looking at the peak. Is that right?
Yeah, particularly for home sales volumes. So that's where we saw a little bit of a peak in the rolling 6-month trend for home sales. And so that basically means that even though values are continuing to rise, we may have hit a ceiling with the volume of transactions. And that could be coming back to things like affordability constraints, especially under the high interest rate environment, and also pretty low levels of consumer sentiment. And I think there's a little more uncertainty around where the market is going that could be driving those home sales a little bit lower as well.
Now, I mentioned at the top, the RBA next Tuesday, they're going to be meeting once again. There's a bit of a changed outlook for the interest rates. I'm going to ask you about how you think that is going to impact on people. But first, what do you think is likely to happen on Tuesday? Do you think they're going to keep it in a paused situation, or are they going to move?
I think it's most likely that they will hold at the next meeting. We did see a little bit of a re-acceleration in the quarterly inflation figures, but they're still broadly in line with RBA forecasts. I think at the start of the year, there was a lot of consensus around the outlook for where interest rates were going, and that was likely to be a cut in Q4. Since we got tight labour market readings through the start of the year and that slight reacceleration in inflation for the quarter, the forecasts have really fanned out. And some of the major banks are still saying there could be an interest rate cut as early as November this year. Some are now saying that could be blown out until early 2025. And some bank economists are even expecting there could be another rate increase. You know, whether you think it's going to drop or move higher, the sheer uncertainty of the outlook, I think, is likely to put downward pressure on home values, just because of the added uncertainty and what that's going to do for consumer confidence. So in the short term, the supply-demand mismatch of property is probably enough to keep it increasing in the short term. But as we get to the longer term, end of the year, that's where we could start to see growth easing.
Yeah, just a couple of days ago, I was playing back a couple of comments from Michelle Bullock, who was saying, you know, just one of these world events, you know, that takes place. If something like that was to happen, as she rightly says, you know, it could throw those interest rates into chaos.
Yeah, there is definitely a fragility to the outlook and definitely not as certain for a cut at the end of the year as we first thought. You know, there's been a lot of attempting to kind of forecast housing and economic trends through the COVID and the post-COVID period. I think we just can't take anything for granted, and we have to be very adaptable to the changing trends and be open to kind of adapting our mindset as well.
Good on you, Eliza. Thanks so much for breaking all of that down for us on this Friday morning. You have yourself a fantastic weekend, and thanks for coming on to the Real Estate Breakfast again.
Thank you, too. Thanks for having me.
Don't navigate the real estate market alone. Let us help guide you in the world of real estate every day. Make better informed decisions with the latest news and insights.
Your market is selling under 500K. Talk a little bit about that, because there will be first home buyers that will be thinking, okay, that sounds reasonable. Tell me more.
Yes, there is the odd gem, particularly more so in New South Wales on the other side of the fence and Tweed Heads. You can still find the odd property under 500. They are very, very rare to come by, where you can still find good value. And there's no doubt growth is assured. You can see that in the next 5 years. As Coolangatta gets too expensive in that postcode, the capital growth just flows over.
You're already under the pump, and this just sort of adding to that pressure cooker.
It really does. It's a very, very challenging time. And the reasons for why it is so challenging is because there has been a lack of long-term population-based planning for how much housing we need to meet the needs of Queenslanders. It's very, very important to get that long-term planning right.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia, the Real Estate Podcast.